You got your Bible, Matthew chapter number 25, and look with me there if you will, and we'll start reading at verse number 1. Chapter 25 and verse number 1. And if you look with me there in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. I want to try this morning, God to help me and trust me with His Word, preach a little while on the testimony of the foolish virgins. In this record here, there's 10 virgins mentioned. 5 was wise and 5 was foolish. Now, if I look at this here this morning, I'll see that this looks like the church of the day. It looks like them that's assembled in the house of God. There's many a time in the Scripture the Lord spoke about the coming of the Lord. The watch, He's coming. And He gave this parable here of these 10 virgins. An application today, you're in one category or another. You're either in the wise or you're in the foolish. I want you to recognize they were all virgins. That's a moral profession of these here. They was chaste. The Bible said was all of the same far as their outward or their morality. They had not defiled themselves, but they were called foolish, 5 of them. Notice what the word foolish means. It means to be dull or to be heedless. In other words, they wasn't heeding or to what they needed to do to be prepared for the bridegroom to come. There's many a people come into the sanctuary every week, but they never heed to what God says. They never prepare themselves for that day when Jesus comes. And we find that so prevalent in the hour we're in, that church or the assembly to them is no more than a place just to come to, but never act upon what you need to do for your own soul this morning. Notice this about these virgins. They anticipated meeting the bridegroom. They had anticipation that they would meet the bridegroom. They was looking for him. They was anticipating this. It sure looked like to me that they were deceived to actually think that they would be able to get in where the bridegroom was without any oil in their lamp. Their intentions were good. If you'd have looked at them, you'd have said, them women are, they've got good intentions. Everything looks good about them. But they had no oil in their lamp. Listen, friend, you can have good intentions and end up in hell. Intentions don't save you. You can have intentions. You say that man's got good intentions. Well, intentions must line up with truth. Truth must be the foundation that you build off of. You can't build off what your intentions are or what you intend to do or maybe what even you hope to do. If you're not ready when Jesus comes, then you're unprepared. and intentions will send you to hell. I say there's a lot of people in the Bible that had good intentions. Don't you think, my friend, that maybe Cain had good intentions when he brought the fruit of the ground under offering unto the Lord and God would not receive it? He probably had good intentions, but them intentions didn't line up with God and did not line up with God as far as what he accepted. He accepted a blood sacrifice, and the intentions that a man has, it just don't get it. I'm glad you got good intentions, but intentions will not get you in. Here are these 10 virgins. My friend, come. They're getting ready to meet the bridegroom. Amen. 5 wise, 5 foolish. Notice this about them. They took their lamps. The lamp was merely an outward profession. A lamp alone will not give light. They saw, my friend, that they needed a lamp. But they had no oil in their lamp. They had a lamp, but they didn't have nothing in the lamp. Hey, can I tell you, there's a lot of people that sit on Baptist church pews that never have been saved. They've got a lamp, but they don't have nothing in the lamp. You better have more than a lamp. A lamp, my friend, without oil does you no good. And without oil, there's no light. And they had a lamp, but they did have no oil in the lamp. Amen. I'm telling you this, there's people in here this morning. You've got an outward profession. I've heard it. And said, preacher, I believe I'm saved. I'm not, I don't know who's saved. That's between you and God. Amen. That's right. That's between you and God. I'm just saying when I read this here that it looks like to me it's surely a picture of religious people that have no oil in their lamp. The Bible said they took no oil. They didn't prepare to even take no oil. They didn't have no oil in their lamp. And they took no oil. Oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Ghost. And you and I both know that you've got to have oil in the lamp for the lamp to burn. Amen. It's like this. They had no oil. They had no light. No fire. Nothing on the inside. I mean, it's a profession without a possession. Amen. Thank God, it's a hope without truth. It's a faith without works. It's no oil in the lamp. I tell you, this morning it'd be a good thing for you to make sure you're saved. The Bible said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not your own selves. Christ is in you. Except you be reprobates. I can't be bad to be a reprobate. Hey friend, you need to make sure that there's some oil in your lamp. That there's real Holy Ghost power in your life. That God bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You can carry a lamp, but if you don't have no oil, the lamp does you no good. Amen. That's right. That's what a lot of people do. They carry a lamp, but they have no possession. They carry a Bible, but they don't have no life in it. Amen. It's not in the Bible's fault. It's the life that's in you. Amen. The Bible's not just a book to me. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. When that Word of God is read to my heart, there's a lamp of fire going off in me that lights up and says, that's God's Word. That's something from the book. Amen. There's just a witness there in the Holy Ghost that's in man that's been born again. And have a light and a lamp in them. I mean a light in their lamp. I tell you, thank God it don't take long for the fire to burn. And a person's been saved and washed in the blood. It don't take long, thank God. I tell you what's happened in the church. In this day and time, we got a lot of lamp tears. But there's a little bit of oil. Amen. There's a lot of people that got lamps. But not a lot of people have no oil. Hey God, if you got some oil in you, it'll shine, it'll burn. Hey God, it's more than just being religious. just say amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. That's right, brother. I'm telling you, don't take. I'm telling this morning that here are these virgins. They go to meet the bridegroom, and five wise take lamps and oil, and five foolish just take a lamp. Amen. That's right. And they don't say this. Thank God they slept with the wise. Them old foolish virgins. Hey, the Bible said in verse number five, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That meant that they were sleeping with the wise. They didn't know that they were soon to be shut out. And you know what? That's the regenerated sleeping with the religious. Amen. I mean, look at this thing. Can I preach a little bit to you this morning? That we come to the house of God. There's people in here that never have had a genuine salvation. There's never been a time in their personal life that they got under conviction of sin and repented and had saving faith in Jesus Christ for their lost soul. Oh, they've been the church. They've been made, my friend, a proselyte. They have a knowledge, but they have not God. Even in the book of Titus, he said, they made a profession, but they didn't have God. He said they have a form, but they have no God. And we find in this day and time that when we come to church, we must see that this thing's real, that there's wise people in here that have been saved, and then there's unwise or foolish that never have prepared to meet the Lord at His coming. And we see that they slept together. They slumbered. They slept. Maybe because of weariness. Maybe because of the late hour that they were in. But I believe, brother, thank God if we're looking for Him, it don't matter what hour of the day is. Thank God we have a zeal of God in us that says Jesus is coming, and we ought to live like He is, and we will live like He is. Then the other people that never have been saved, they won't see the urgency to get saved themselves. Amen. That's what's happened. That's right. You know, even the wheat and tares, just another comparison in the Bible. The wheat and tares growed up together. He said, let them grow up. He said, they'll be the judgment when in the time God will separate them. While the wheat and the tares look alike. Amen. God knows who they are. But the fact of it is, I mean, you can be so close to heaven and go to hell. You know that? The Bible even told over there, Jesus said, He said about that one man, He said, you're not far from the kingdom. You're not far from it. He said that. He said you're not far from the kingdom, that you can be so close. Hey, amen. Look at the people that walked in the very presence of our Lord and heard Him preach. Hey, amen. He even said He couldn't do nothing in Capernaum for their unbelief. Hey, amen. Because they were hard-hearted. They wouldn't listen to Him. Hey, we live in a hard-hearted day. People fight off the prayer of the Word of God and the power of God. And they harden their hearts. And they won't receive the engrafted Word, which is able to save their soul. And what happens is when they hear the Word of God so much that they are so immune to it that it really don't do nothing for them. It don't change them. It don't make them no different. And friend, tonight, this morning, we see that in the day we're in. Hey, God, they say with their lips that they love God, but their heart's far from Him. Our life don't prove it. And when our life don't prove it, then we don't have no power in our life. Amen. That's right. God help us all. Check up this morning. Now, here these are sleeping. They're sleeping together. It says they all slumbered and slept. And the Bible said they heard a cry that the bridegroom's coming. And when they heard the cry of the bridegroom's coming, the Bible said that all those virgins arose. Every one of them got up. Amen. They got up. And they realized they didn't have what it took to get in where the bridegroom was. Do you have what it takes? You have what it takes. I'm going to tell you what I wouldn't do. I would not want to go out when the cry comes and try to make things ready then, and I wasn't ready before the cry came. Because I'm telling you what, that's too late when the cry comes. You better know, thank God, listen to me this morning. God help us all. I mean, we need to make sure we save this morning. There would be nothing more important than being saved. What else really matters when it comes to die than being saved by the grace of God? I'm telling you, you better know within your own heart you pass from death unto life and you're saved. Amen. I mean, you don't know, friend, when the bridegroom's coming. But I tell you, he is a coming. He's already came one time and he's coming again. And mankind better wake up and see Jesus is a coming soon. Amen. That's right. Are we not sleeping with the world in this day? The world's coming to church. And you know we're sleeping with them. They're sleeping. Yeah. I know I get on you sometimes. I don't really like to, I'll be honest with you. But I really would like an answer sometimes on why people can't get stirred up about Jesus. I mean, there's my grandson sitting over here this morning. And when he was born in the world, man, that done something to my heart. Amen. And still does. He's my grandson. It means something to me. Somebody talks about Levi, it makes a sparkle come to my eyes and my heart because he's my grandson. And you know, when Jesus, think about the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Savior of the world. I mean, he come by my way one day and rescued me and saved me by the grace of God and done something for me that nobody else could ever do. And brother, somebody don't thank God and says something about him. And the songs are high singing about him. And we sat there and we never have a smile and we never have a tear and we never have no joy and we never have no fire and we never have no light in the lamp. I wonder if you got any oil. Yeah. I really wonder. Oh boy, the other day I was talking to him. He said, "Preacher," he is crying. He said, "I've been saved three times." That's what he told me. I said, "Christopher," I said, "you don't get saved at one time."
Amen.
I said, "but it'd have to be God to save you." And I said, "you've tried to do it and tried to do it and it don't work." And I said, "God's got to get a hold of you. You won't get saved unless God gets a hold of you. You can try to get a hold of God all you want. He gets a hold of you, you'll not get a hold of Him."
Amen.
That's right. And I said, "I'll tell you what's going to happen to you, son." I said, "you're going to have to get in an old time meeting or get where God's at, where the Holy Ghost is. And He's going to have to get a hold of you. That's just the bottom line." Amen. That's right. It ain't no other way, friend. I'm going to tell you, I would have never got saved, never would have wanted to be saved if God hadn't got a hold of me.
Amen.
I tell you, I wasn't interested in God one bit. I didn't want God, wasn't interested in God. But that old man of God started telling me I had to be born again to save. And God got a hold of me at that truth and started dealing my heart about being saved, about being born again. I tried to shake it off. But thank God, I'm telling you, that power of God got a hold of me. I tell you, it said, "like God come to me and got a hold of me." I'm telling you, you better let the truth get a hold of you. Hey, friend, you better be ready when it comes. The Holy Ghost, if He comes to you this morning and gets a hold of you, you better listen to what He's telling you. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. The Holy Spirit's got to get a hold of you. He's got to come to you and He's got to confront you and say, "you the man." That's right. You lost. You sinner. That's right. God's got to deal with you. That's right. He don't do it. He don't do it. You didn't want to get saved. He's got to get a hold of you. I wonder if God ever got a hold of you. God ever got a hold of you. That's right. God ever come to you where you was at and He got a hold of you. Amen. That's right. He got a hold of you. He got a hold of you. He come where you was at and got a hold of you. I'm telling you, when that bridegroom comes, you better thank God, have something in your heart.
Yeah.
Thank God when they said the bridegroom's coming, here's the bridegroom's here. Thank God they all got out of their sleep and they went and got their lamps and five foolish and my friend had no oil.
Right.
None. Not a bit. None. We have no all. The foolish said unto the wise, "give us of your all." I'm going to tell you something this morning. You better have your own all. You can't get your all. You can't get all from your husband, ma'am. You can't get all from your wife, sir. Hey, children, you can't get oil from your parents. You got to have your own oil. If you don't have your own oil, you can't have no burning in your lamp. Everybody's got their own lamp. You got to have oil in your lamp. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Listen to this here this morning. Amen. They slept and they arose. But they heard the cry, but unprepared. The cry came at midnight, which is a type of a late hour. Amen. The night time. And they lay awake, but they had no oil in their lamp. And they wore the lamps. I wanted oil from the west. And they said, our lamps are gone out. I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people's lamps gone out. That's right. A lot of people's lamps gone out. Amen. I've been saved for 30 years. 30. 30 years been saved. 30 years. The lamps flickered, but it never has went out. Amen. That's right. 30 years I've been in this way. Thank God. And you know why? Because I got some oil in me.
Yeah.
That's right. Just don't have a lamp. Thank God I got some oil in me. And if you say, you got oil in you.
Yeah,
right. That's right. You got some oil in you. And they said, give us your oil. And they couldn't give it. And they said, our lamps are gone out. I tell you what they had. Hey, that my friend. Hey, God, they just had a mere profession. And they didn't have no possession. And I'm telling you what, if they got a possession, hey, God, their lamp won't go out. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, I want to say something this morning. Look up here at me. All you young people. I love you. I've saw a lot of young people come through this church with a lamp. A lamp. They sung in the choir with a lamp. They sat on pews like y'all did with a lamp. But their lamp's gone out. Yeah. Huh? And you say, preacher, you think they're going to make it? I said, I don't know. Time will tell. Time will tell. I'm not the judge, but time will tell.
Right.
If their lamp will go out. And when that lamp goes out, hey, don't have no oil in the lamp. And I'm just saying, hey, God, my friend, you better make sure you got some oil in your lamp. I mean, that's just like them fig leaves on Adam. Hey, man, it didn't last. No fruit, no root. Ain't got no water in the cloud. I'm telling you, no oil in the lamp. Hey, friend, you better make sure you got oil in your lamp this morning.
Amen.
Right. Now, I'll say this. The devil is a great master at deception. He can deceive people. Does deceive people. He said, many shall come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done wonderful works in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you.
Right.
Yes. He said, Satan transformed himself as an angel of light. Which Satan wasn't kicked out of hell, he's kicked out of heaven.
Amen.
He had been around God. You say, preacher, how's a man know he's saved? God. The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Word of truth. That's how.
Yeah.
I wonder where you'd be if the cry went out. Here he comes. Where are you going to be? I'm going to give you three things right quick here in the rest of my part of Scripture. The testimony of these foolish virgins. Verse number 11, the Bible said, after they came, also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open us. Number one, notice their cry. Open to us. Too late. Too late! Too late! You see, people don't know the urgency of being saved. They don't see it. They don't see that I need to be saved today. That when the door is shut, God shuts it.
Amen.
Their cry was too late. It came too late. I've seen that happen in people's lives. When they had opportunity to get right with God, they wouldn't do business. In fact, in Stephen's message, he said, "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did." In other words, they opposed truth. They would not receive the truth. They opposed it. And by opposing the truth, my friend, it was too late. If they had come to do any business with God and try to get in, it was too late. Hey, friend, there is a time in your life that you can go too far, and God says, it's over with.
Yeah, right.
The Bible said in Proverbs 29:1, he that be an offer of proof, hardens his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Notice not only their cry, they were shut out, the door was shut. It was on the outside. Their condition is outside the door. There's outside grace. There's outside salvation. It wasn't where they ought to be in God. It's on the door. Outside. Now, could you pray for me today and get a prayer through? God help if you saved, you ought to be able to. Where are you at? Are you outside the door or inside? Are you outside or inside? Are you outside or inside? Hey, friend, there was five foolish virgins. Hey, they was on the outside of the door. They wasn't on the inside of the door. And you ever thought about this? These virgins, they were foolish, but they were moral. We weren't talking about a bunch of drunkards. We're not talking about a bunch of harlots. We're not talking about that kind of woman. We're talking about five foolish virgins. Virgins. You know, in the sight of men, somebody can say, "Man, that's a good guy." And they can be as lost can be. Say, "That's a good woman right there." But she can be as lost can be. And don't know it.
Amen.
And don't even know it. I mean, I'm trying to preach your heart a little bit this morning to get you to see that, brother, we need to wake up to the fact that the church is asleep, people's going to hell, and there's people sitting amongst us today that never have had a saving grace in their hearts, and all they know is church. This boy here has been grown up. He grown up in church. He's grown up in church. Most of you young people in here has grown up in church. You know the church lingo. See, I was raised in Methodist. I went to the Methodist. Twice a day and plucked up by the roots. And there used to be some Methodist churches preached that, didn't they? And I went to the Lutheran. I went from bad to worse. Joined them because I wanted to play ball. And then that old man of God got a hold of my heart with the gospel. God did, and woke me up to the fact that I was going to hell and I need to be born again. And I was lost without God, without hope. And if I didn't get born again, I was going straight to hell. That's what he told me. He did. You know what I like to do every once in a while? I'll go up to somebody I don't know and say to them, say, "You know, I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, if you didn't get born again, you was going to hell. What do you think about that?" I said, "That's what that old man of God told me. He said, you need to get born again." But I'll tell you what, he said it with tears in his eyes. I saw him come there weeping. I mean, just weeping tears. And say, "Joel, I sure like to see you get born again." And it made me so mad, it cut me to the heart. So I didn't want nobody to think I was that bad. But when God shines His light on you, you as wicked and dirty and rotten as anybody lives. I tell you, the day God shined the gospel on me, I thought I was as filthy a man that could ever live. I was going to hell, felt like I could have dropped into hell at any time. Have you ever been through that? You ever been through conviction like that? Where you felt like you was about to drop off into hell? I tell you what, you better get in while you can. That cry was too late. Amen. Outside the door. Yeah. Notice the condemnation. He said, I don't know you. I know you not. You're not in my bride. I don't know you. I don't know you. I know you not. I know you not. I don't know you. You better have more than I hope he knows me.
Yeah.
You better know he knows you. I'm talking about in a personal salvation that you've got in your heart.
Yeah.
Son, I'd hate to get to that door and not be open to me and it be shut and I'd knock on and say, Lord, it's joy, it's joy. He says, I know you not. God help. That'd be terrible. That'd be terrible. Wouldn't that be terrible to get to the door and say, it's me, Lord. It's me. I got some on now. Let me in, Lord. And he says, I don't know you. God help. Man, that'd be rough. God help. Oh, man. What about them little boys and girls you raising? You kind of ought to be telling them some truths every day. They need to get saved. Try. This little boy right here needs to get saved. He's got to get saved one day. Now, I believe there is an age of accountability. I believe that. I believe that's between them and God, too. I believe the first time the Holy Ghost ever deals with them, they're accountable for what their conscience has revealed to them. But I'll tell you what, they'll have to get saved. Oh, preacher, I'm just too busy. I mean, preacher, look at all things going on this time of year. And all we got to do, preacher, and all the festivities and all the things that are going on. And we got involved in all these other things. And preacher, I want my boy. I ain't going to be a success in this and that. What about getting saved? What about praying for them? What about knowing in your heart you've been born again? Saved by grace through faith. Thank God. Amen. Notice here. Notice he said, I don't know you. It's about hard to find anybody anywhere that don't say they're saved. I go to the jail every week. I ask them every week, I say, you ever been saved? I try to quit asking them. You ever been saved? Oh yeah, we Christians. You go out here in the community, you ever been saved? Once in a while, one of them boys will say, no, I ain't never been saved. I say, you on good ground then. You can get saved.
Right.
Long as you say you aren't, just like the Pharisees, they thought they was alright, and they were blind. They didn't know nothing. Amen. They had no knowledge of the salvation of God. I'm telling you, you got to get lost before you ever get saved. Notice the charge. He said, watch and for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. You don't know when He's coming. You don't know. You say, do you really believe we're looking for Him? No, I don't. I don't believe we're looking for Him. If we did, we'd live different.
Amen.
One preacher called me the other day. He said, he's just being honest. I mean, he loves me. He's my friend. He said, boy, our service today, he said, it was pitiful. What he said? He said, how was yours? I said, all right, it's all right. And I wrote him back and I said, we're stuck between Thanksgiving and Christmas right now. It's hard to get jingle bells out. You know, Thanksgiving is all about stuffing our gut. Well, I ain't never saw people that don't think they can make it without a turkey leg. Or a big plate of food. I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying we're living like animals now. People fighting over towels at Walmart, eating, they got to have all this heat. And, amen. And brother, I'm telling you, if we went to a food bar, and God help us, we'd all do it. I mean, we'd leave there and we'd say, boy, I just can't hardly make it. God help. He said, if a man be given an appetite, put a knife to his throat. If we get excited about coming to prayer meeting as much as we do and sitting down at dinner time, amen, or what we got to get under the tree. Wonder why you always discouraged. People's got, you know what was that one song the old boy sung? That's a blue Christmas. You know what gets me? We all guilty somewhat. Get this here. I'm guilty too, so. Let me preach to you a minute.
Come on.
Man, we got to get up there and get all that stuff. I done it. We pile this mess under the tree, you know. We don't need none of it. Maybe a pair of socks once in a while. Handkerchiefs. T-shirts. Everybody want, and we and all of the, I reckon you do. You put all this stuff under the tree. Put it all under there. I mean, packed up. I don't know how much you buy, but boy, we just can't wait to open them up.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, "Well, I really just don't want nothing," you don't have to buy me nothing. Well, son, if you didn't buy them something, they'd get mad. Amen. And they get in there and open all this stuff up, man, and we stuff our face, and then it's all over, and the next day we're sitting around like this. You know why? There ain't no heart in it. It's a routine and a ritual. We come to church on Sunday and we say, man, look at that new watch I got there. Son, look at that. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying we get so caught up in just a little bit of this year. And I know I got to get off my chest because I always do every year. But I don't want to be called a Grinch, you know. And a week later, means nothing to you. And we come to church on Sunday morning, and we can't even get a holy amen out of the people of God. Son, we went yesterday out and bought them gifts, you know, buying them gifts. You couldn't even find a park.
Yeah.
Boy, there's a parking lot just full of people. We got some parks out here this morning.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Well, my goodness, I bet Walmart's got a whole lot more than we got this morning. Yeah. And you know what? When you come here, what the blessing of God is, it's all free from God. The singing was free. We didn't have to pay them boys to sing this morning. We didn't have to pay him to play the piano and sing. Thank God. I'm going to tell you what, are you listening to me this morning? We got the best we can have in Christ. Thank God. We got the best we can have in the Word of God. We got the best we can have in old time religion. And we come to church and we sit here like it ain't nothing. I'm telling you what, where's the Lord at? Amen. And I want to make it clear, I'm not preaching against Christmas. I like it. I like Christmas hymns. I like giving and I like receiving. Don't say you don't.
Right.
Everybody likes a little something.
Amen.
But where's the oil at? Where's the oil at? Huh? Five foolish virgins had no oil. Where's the oil at? You got some oil in you. I need some light. We on a path, son. I mean, I'm running a little low. I got some oil in my lamp. I need some oil. You bring some oil with you this morning. We need some oil. Hey, where's the oil at? You got a little oil in your lamp this morning.
Amen.
Where's the oil? Where's the light? Where's the praise? Where's it at? Got a little oil in your lamp. Yeah. Yeah. Is your lamp full of oil? Run a little low. Amen. That's right. And then some of you don't have no oil.
Yeah.
None. You never have had any. No oil. Just carrying a lamp around. But no oil. Bridegroom's coming. He's coming soon.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Would it be all right for y'all, and it don't matter to God, because when He comes, He ain't going to tarry. He's going to come when He wants to. Would it be all right with y'all if He come tonight?
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank God. Would it be all right with Him if He come tonight?
Amen.
He could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
He could. He could come tonight. You got any oil in your lamp when He comes? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. There's got to be some oil in your lamp. You got some oil in your lamp when He comes. Amen. You got that oil in your lamp? Looking for Jesus to come. Yeah, that's right. Thank God. Five foolish didn't. And He said, I don't know you. I know you not. What about you? God know you. Five foolish virgins. I've seen people raised in preachers' homes, deacons' homes, church members' homes. I've seen them grow up and they had no oil in their lamp. None. I could go old testimony after testimony. No oil. I've heard Sister Shank saying her own, out of her own heart, she was raised in a preacher's home, but didn't get no oil in her lamp till her husband got saved. Right. Let's stand this morning. I appreciate you hearing the Word of God.